You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Recorded in Chicago, Illinois, with your hosts, Ken, Matt, Neil, and Jeff, this is Triviality.
Hello and welcome to Triviality, the game where a lack of seriousness meets a little bit of knowledge. My name is Neil. I'm here in the studio with Ken and Jeff. Week two of Nomad in the studio, gone once again. How are we feeling?
Sad day.
Shipped off to another coast.
Yep, another coast, a coast with the most.
But he's still here with us, so.
Yeah, we have Matt's urn. It's empty, but it's here just to represent him. And it
gives me my magic
for future use. For future use, whenever you're ready, Matt.
It's the urn that the pallbearer used to carry with the Undertaker. How are you, Matt?
Apparently dead, so rough over here.
That's what happens when you leave town, you're dead to us.
That's true. How's everyone else doing here?
Doing great.
Good. So, we have some great guests here with us today. A few weeks ago, you probably heard a game hosted by our contestant today, and he's coming to us from Enid, Oklahoma, and that is Sam Young. How are you, Sam?
I'm doing really good.
And do we want to talk about what happened?
Yeah, sure. So we've only had two instances of not foul play, but things that have happened.
Foul play, for sure.
Foul play. So once there was an episode, well, it'll remain nameless because it was a great episode. But the machine we used to use before the patrons allowed us to buy a new machine completely fried the memory card that we had, and it fried one episode. So there was one episode that was lost to the ether that we hope to recreate one day. And then there was another episode that Sam hosted that was a lot of fun. And for some reason, the numbering system and our memory cards, our hard drives and all that kind of stuff, it was just like lost in there and we couldn't find it.
The lost file.
It was the lost file, where T-Rex goes to Santa Barbara or wherever and terrorizes children. Yeah. But we found it, and it was recorded, I think, in what, Sam, November?
November, I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Of 2021.
But a couple weeks ago, we brought it to you, so...
Yep.
There you go.
We had a lot of fun with it. So, Sam,
recovery.
We recovered. You're right. Now that you're a contestant, not a host, tell us a little bit more about yourself and the special guest sitting beside you.
Well, I am a high school computer teacher, and I also the academic team coach at a little country school here close to Enid. And I have with me today my son, Asher, who's 15. You may not hear him on the microphone, but he's here and he's helping supply answers to me in case I don't know an answer.
And so good morale.
He tends to know more than I do. So,
yeah, good morale having Asher here. So thank you both for joining us today, and for Sam for coming back. We had a nice exchange with Sam over our messenger, and I won't say what it was, but he had a really funny joke, but you can't tell through text. And we were all really worried, but it was a funny joke.
I was making him sweat a little bit.
Yeah, so it was great. So thank you for that. But yeah, we're excited to have you here. So thank you for joining us. In order to play the game, we need a host. And coming to us from Lexington, Kentucky, rules guy impersonator on Patreon, which we appreciate, Troy Cooper. How are you, Troy?
Doing great. How are y'all?
Doing awesome. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Like I said, my name is Troy. I'm an assistant professor at the University of Kentucky in the School of Information Science. Been here for about 10 years now, and general trivia fan and big fan of the show, so I really appreciate you guys giving me the opportunity to come on.
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
Thanks, happy to have you.
Yeah, and how is University of Kentucky, the Wildcats, how is it over there?
You know, it's really exciting right now. The kids are back. I call them kids. They're all 18. They're adults, at least. It's exciting, and football season's about to come in strong. I know Kentucky's, sort of seen as a basketball school, which it very much is, but as of late, the football team's been gaining some notoriety too. So there's some excitement on campus. It's good.
Cool. So last game, I noticed that we have a long streak going of Darren rule reads, right?
That's right.
So of the other rule reads that we've displayed on the show, which one do you want to hear today?
How about Gilbert Gottfried?
All right, bring back the Gilbert.
Triviality Podcast is two rounds of 20 questions worth 10 points apiece. At halftime, there's a special swing round by this week's host. In the final round, players wager points they've earned for a chance to become the cream of the crop.
Crop rules everything around me.
All right, nice to hear him again.
Yeah, it is good to hear him. Always good to hear Gilbert.
Sad loss, but he'll always be here with us at Triviality.
That's right, preserving the memory.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of Gilbert, I think there's a joke that he would appreciate. And Matt, you're going to be teaming with Sam today. And what is your team name going to be?
Well, I don't even know why we were doing this, but we had to have an Edgar Allan Poe name, and we went through about 30 of them and came with the original classic, A Telltale Fart.
It's because we are going to be the fall of the House of Asher. That's why. Because that's also
that's our way of being a little threatening right now, yeah. Since, you know.
Because we're going to take you guys
Sam out. And Asher are sitting over there, and we thought we'd intimidate you a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Neil likes to ask the second team whose name it relies on the first team's name first.
Classic Triviality move.
I'm keeping you on your toes, though. That's why.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Well, yeah, those are the teams. Jeff's going to sit out, provide color commentary. And are you keeping score? Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't know how much you were doing today, but.
So can you keep score?
Can you?
I will try.
Could you
my
do something, Jeff?
Darndest.
All right. So we're ready to go. Sam and Matt, you guys ready to go?
You know it.
Yes, all right. We're ready.
All right, Troy, take us to the promised land. I'm trying out your catchphrases.
I'm not sure that I can do that, but I can give you a question.
2 out of 10, Neil.
I think we're going to try that one again. So,
why?
No, I meant a different right. catchphrase.
Oh, okay.
All right. So question one, round one. It's time to get things started. On The Muppet Show, Animal plays the drums in a band called Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem. Besides Animal and Dr. Teeth, name one of the other members of that band.
Okay, yeah, I like that.
All right, we're locked in.
We'll lock in.
Bad guess, but we'll see.
So you said you're not 100% sure on any of the other
ones. I can visualize every single one of them. There's, you know, the lady with the long blonde hair, and God, I can't think of any of their names, though. I mean, I just Animal's the only one I knew, and he took it away from us.
I think the singer is based off Janis Joplin, and I think it's named Janis.
Yeah, that does sound vaguely familiar, so that might be a good guess to go with.
At first, I was thinking Rolf, but I don't think he's actually in the band. I think he plays the piano, though, but I don't know if he was in the band. So,
no, yeah,
if you're good,
he's a solo artist.
I'm good with Janis. That was a good answer. So,
all right, we will go with Janis.
And we're going for the same Muppet, but we said her name was Lola for some reason.
All right, so yeah, Janis plays the guitar and does vocals. There's also Floyd Pepper who plays the bass. Zoot, who plays the saxophone, and Lips, who plays the trumpet.
That's right.
Lips. Oh,
could have just said Lips.
Yeah, that was a real creative name.
Yeah. Like the Telltale Fart.
Yeah.
Much like it. Yeah.
Very descriptive. Yeah.
Okay, question two. A rose by any other name. One of the largest flowers in the world, the Amorphophallus titanum, blooms only once every 7 to 9 years. When it does, it produces a stench that has been compared to the smell of rotting meat. What is the more well-known colloquial name of this flower?
We can lock in over here.
The fart flower.
That's what I was thinking, but I don't know this.
Boiled meat. I don't know this one.
Golly.
Like a boys' gym locker room.
We can go with some answer like that, like the locker room flower or something, but the gym socks flower.
The old jockstrap flower?
Yeah.
Yeah. A blooming bloomer.
I'm just not coming up with anything, so.
Yeah, we're going to say, I got absolutely nothing on this, so.
What's called a stench flower?
Yep, stench flower. Works for me.
Yep, we think they were drawing a parallel to what it reminded them of smell-wise, and we went with the corpse flower.
Yes, it is indeed the corpse flower. One of the specimens was just blooming at the Cincinnati Zoo, and we took our kids up there to see it. Didn't end up seeing because it was a 2.5 hour wait to see it.
Hey, kids, this is what a dead body smells like.
Exactly. We didn't think it was worth a 2.5 hour wait to expose our kids to rotting meat smell. Yeah. So.
All right.
That's smell a dead body.
That's the new airplane quote. Instead of, have you ever seen a grown man naked? It's, hey, kids, you ever smell a dead body?
Sounds like a Jonathan Frakes line.
All right, question three, playing with your food. What line of late 1980s action figures featured such characters as Sergeant Scoop, Private Pizza, and Taco Terror? There was also a frying pan helicopter that featured spatula blades and an egg carton tank.
We'll lock in.
I think your answer is pretty jossum.
I mean, I was a kid at this time, but I don't remember anything like this.
So I think I had a couple of these. They reminded me of the Toxic Crusader toys that I also had. I think that these are called Food Fighters.
Huh. Ooh, that makes sense. Well, we didn't know, as you might guess, we said Street Sharks.
All right, I'm glad somebody actually got this one right, because when I was playtesting it, nobody seemed to, and I thought I'd just written an impossible question, and that maybe I was just imagining these toys when I was a kid. But yes, they are called Food Fighters.
All right, good job, man.
Was there a cartoon or just the toys?
No, it was just the toys, yeah.
Yeah, they hung out with the California Raisins on my toy shelf.
I vividly remember seeing the commercials of the kind of cartoon foods fighting each other and, you know, shooting eggs back and forth at one another and that sort of thing.
Yep, surprisingly my wheelhouse.
I was a big collector of the McDonald's chicken nugget toys that you could dress up as Halloween characters.
Oh, I love those.
Here's a fun thing. My old Nintendo had trouble playing the games because there needed to be something wedged in to press the game down, and so we'd stick those chicken nuggets in there. So it's like a stranger would come over the house, try to play the Nintendo, you gotta stick a chicken nugget in there.
You see, originally I was thinking McDonald's. I was thinking the ones that transform, like you'd have the pancake box and would turn into a car or whatever.
Oh, I had all those too.
Yeah,
or the like dinosaur that was the breakfast box.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah, I do remember those, but I don't remember the Food Fighters. That's crazy.
All right, question number four. Hey, that's just my aspirin. Medications such as aspirin, ibuprofen, and naproxen, used as pain relievers and fever reducers, are part of a class of drugs called NSAIDs, N-S-A-I-D. What does this acronym stand for?
We can lock in.
I thought so.
N-S-I-D.
N-S-A-I-D.
Well, the last word is probably drug.
Yeah.
Just say no.
I've got nothing there, so we want to make up something. You said drug probably for the D.
Yeah, I mean narcotic, like you said, for the first. I don't know that makes total sense, but we don't know the answer, so we might as well make something up.
Narcotic safe after initial dose.
There you go.
Okay, well, go with it.
Last week we said that Jeff's arteries are running on hollandaise, mine are running on NSAIDs. We said non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug.
Oh, of course he knows.
Yeah, that's correct. Non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug.
90% of Neil is actually this NSAID. So.
All right, question five. We're going streaking. Sometimes a team gets hot and stays that way. Within two games, what is the NHL record for the most consecutive wins by a team? For a bonus, 5 points, name that team.
All right, we're locked in with a guess. Wild guess.
So you said, was it point streak or win streak?
Win streak.
Win streak.
I mean, would this be some of the old Red Wings teams? Or, I mean, I'm not a big hockey fan, so I'm just kind of spouting out names I'm familiar with, which means they had a lot of popularity. So
yeah, I'm guessing it's an old record, because once ties became the norm, it kind of got more difficult.
Well, we got within two, so that means it's probably going to be close to you know, 15 to 20 or something like that.
Yeah, I was gonna. I was thinking 18 was what I was thinking.
Okay.
And I'm good with the Red Wings if you want to go Red Wings.
Yeah, I mean, that's about all of the help I've got, so.
Yeah, 18 and Red Wings. Right. We're locked in.
All right, we said 23 and Oilers.
All right, so the answer is 17 games.
Yeah, all right.
Nice job, fellas.
This was in 92-93, and it was the Pittsburgh Penguins. Oh,
Penguins. I forgot about the Penguins should have been an obvious. I don't know why I didn't think of the Penguins.
All right, and after five questions, the score is 30-20. Favor goes to the Telltale Fart. You guys would be perfect if you combined your efforts, though. It looks like every team is getting at least one of the answers every time.
Alternating.
In an alternating pattern. So
we're due for the next one. Let's have it.
See, I'm glad I wrote a game that works for everyone.
Yeah, and we're gonna take this question off, so have at it, guys.
All right, question six, high school reading list. What 1976 debut novel by Judith Guest tells the story of the Jarrett family? It deals with pretty heavy issues such as suicide, depression, and failing relationships. Its film adaptation is perhaps better known, winning the 1980 Academy Awards for both Best Picture and Best Director.
Oh, Neil knows
that. It's definitely their question, because, I mean...
Yeah.
I believe that won the year right before Raiders of the Lost Ark came out, so...
Okay, sounds good. We're locked in.
Yeah, I've probably heard of this movie, but I couldn't tell you which... I mean, right the year I was born, so I didn't really pay much attention to the Oscars that year.
Yeah, definitely not something that I was very familiar with. And I don't know the book either.
Yeah, I haven't had to come across that one. So,
So you want to just go Of Mice and Men?
Yeah, I mean that's Steinbeck, but that works.
Yeah, perfect. That means it's 100% right.
Exactly.
Of Mice and Men's becoming like the Bowling for Soup literary version of our podcast. So this movie. I always forget, was directed by an actor when they were a little bit younger, Robert Redford, who I believe won the Oscar for that. And featured Timothy Hutton.
America's Man.
This is directorial debut, Neil.
Directorial debut, and featured Mary Tyler Moore in a dramatic performance. We went Ordinary People.
I've heard of it. I've never seen it, though.
Yes, Ordinary People, and you took all of the flavor text out of that, so thanks.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that was a sincere thanks.
Okay. Forgot about Donald Sutherland.
The alternating is still active.
All right, it's our turn, Matt. Our turn.
It'd be wild if that was the entire game. Right.
How are you guys on flags?
Ooh.
Right. Question seven, Church and State. There are two nations that depict Buddhist symbolism on their official national flags. Name one of them.
I'll let them lock in first.
Did you say U.S. states?
No, two
nations that depict.
Yes, two U.S. states.
As soon as I heard Buddhist flags, symbols. I just completely checked out, but I wanted to at least know what the question was. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, do we have to name just one or two?
Yeah, just one.
Okay, yeah, let's go with yours.
All right, we're locked in.
It's obviously probably an Asian nation. Tibet seems kind of an obvious choice because there's a lot of religious, like Tibetan monks and stuff there, but
mm-hmm.
Also, that was seems like there's some kind of symbol on Sri Lanka that maybe some kind of a Buddhist symbol.
What about Thailand?
Yeah, Thailand was another one I was thinking of.
I feel like it's a big enough Buddhist country.
Yeah, I mean, I can't visualize all the flags, but I have seen them before, so maybe Thailand seems like a good one. Or Taiwan.
And I do like Tibet. Tibet is a country, isn't it?
Yeah. Well,
that's where I was kind of.
Yeah, it seems like China claims it sometimes.
Yeah, so I'll steer away from that whole thing, and I think we'll just say Thailand.
Thailand sounds good to me.
Okay. Yeah, we considered Thailand. We couldn't picture the flag. We considered a lot of those nations that you mentioned. The one flag I'm sure has like a sort of yin yang sort of symbol on it is South Korea. So we said South Korea.
All right. So the answers are, and Sam, you had it. The first, your first answer was actually correct. Sri Lanka has four bow leaves, which are part of the Buddhist principles. And then Bhutan is the other one.
Oh, okay.
The dragon?
Yes.
Streak broken.
Yeah.
3-3.
Now we're back.
At least you guys didn't get the point, so we're good.
Yeah, right. Now we're back to square one.
Okay, round one, question 8, staying power. Put these television series in order from lowest to highest in terms of the number of aired episodes. Okay, so the list is Married with Children, Malcolm in the Middle, Monk, and Murder, She Wrote.
Okay, we have locked in with an order, so you guys can feel free to discuss.
Okay, so Sam, you were
going from least to most?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So you were saying you and your wife had just went through all of Malcolm in the Middle. So
yeah, there's over 100 episodes. I'm not sure the exact number, but
We were thinking Monk, 6 or 7 seasons, but less episodes because it was a USA show. So we were around 85, 90 there. And then it's a toss-up between, I think Married with Children was only on for like 5 or 6 seasons.
Yeah, I would say that one's probably the least.
So let's go Married with Children, Monk, Murder, She Wrote, and then Malcolm in the Middle.
That sounds like a good list to me.
Okay, locked in.
Similar reasoning to you guys. We thought Monk was the least due to shorter seasons. Married with Children, Malcolm in the Middle, and then Murder, She Wrote with the most because that show was on forever on network.
Okay, no points here. You both teams had the first one correct. Monk was the least with 125 episodes. Next in line was Malcolm in the Middle with 151 episodes. Married with Children ran for 11 seasons and had 259 episodes.
Hell.
Why?
That was surprising to me, too. And then Murder, She Wrote was just above that, was 264.
7,000 episodes. It's still on today. No?
And okay. Nobody got any points because life is unfair.
We need Jessica Walters to, or that's not her name, is it on the show? Yeah, right?
Who? In Arrested Development?
Murder, Jennifer. No. What am
Angela
I thinking
of? Lansbury.
Jessica Lansbury, yeah, Lansbury. Not
but her character, though, is like, I think...
Jessica Lange?
Whatever. No, I'll look up her character name. I thought it was Jessica Walters. Anyway, we have a urn here and we need someone to investigate it.
All right. Question number 9. Read my lips. What often maligned term associated with empty words or disingenuous talk, often thrown around in political debates and discussions, was originally coined by Aristotle as the faculty of observing in any given situation the available means of persuasion?
Let's see. Ken wrote something down. Oh, that does sound like something Aristotle would say as I listen to his podcast.
Okay. We're locked in.
Today is sponsored by Casper.
All right. Why do they all sound like that?
Is that because he's a friendly ghost now?
Sam, do you have any ideas here?
Something's just right at the front of my brain. I can't pull it.
On the tip of your lips, maybe? I think this might be lip service.
Yeah, I mean, that does make sense. It sounds like an old term.
Yeah, so we're going to lock in with lip service.
That's interesting. We went with empty platitudes.
So this is actually rhetoric.
Mm. Wow.
Mm. Yeah. We're on a new streak, guys.
Often gets a really bad rap, but this is something that I studied in grad school, and so I always make it a point to, you know, give it a better reputation than it often gets. His rhetoric is not necessarily a bad thing. Okay, number 10. This the 6-time World Horseshoe Pitching Champion, who even managed a second-place finish after switching throwing hands in 2005, is actually more well-known for being the winningest competitor in what other sport?
The only thing I can think of is like competitive eating. Maybe it's like Kobayashi or something. One of those guys.
I would think, on the side.
Based on the general hand, the motion, and how you do this.
Watch yourself.
Hey, I think bowling might be something.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's true. I forgot about the part where you're talking about the hand motion.
Yeah. Always forget about the hand motion. I think bowling is a good answer.
As long as he's bowling for soup, we're good.
Yeah, that's our answer. Bowling.
We had a similar reasoning, but we wanted to keep it outside on the lawn, right?
Yep.
We went with the cornhole.
Okay, so this is Walter Ray Williams Jr., the winningest bowler.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even think about bowling, to be honest. I don't know why I went right to cornhole, because I've seen it on ESPN recently, and I'm like, It was on the
Ocho. Yeah, they're showing cornhole all the time.
And Jay Cutler, former Bears quarterback, was like in a tournament, like to be a champion. It's crazy.
All right, and that'll end the first round, everyone. Scores are 40-30, so not too much. Still a 10-point difference between the two teams. And Telltale Fart still in the lead over the Fall of the House of Asher. So
thanks for gassing us up there.
You are welcome. Let's take you into the swing round.
All right, so our swing round, in a nod to Chicago, entitled Second City. So I'm going to give you a list of 10 nations, and I want you to give me the second most populated city in that country. All right, so number one, China. Number two, Canada. Number three, France. Number four, Australia. Number five, Brazil. Number six, Mexico. Number seven, Egypt. Number eight, Japan. Number nine, Italy. And number 10, Israel.
All right, we will think about these and we'll be right back.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
That funny video game sound means we're back with our answers. Let's have the questions one more time, and we'll see how we did.
All right, so again, we're looking for the second most populated city in each of these countries. So number one is China.
The operator got me Beijing, Jing, Jing, and I think they told me...
Banana phone?
Yes, and I think that they told me that they were actually the first, so we went with Shanghai.
Oh. We also went with Shanghai.
All right. So the answer is Beijing.
Oh.
Shanghai has 26.3 million and Beijing was 21.5 million.
Oh, so we actually got the highest. Golly.
Interesting.
All right. Number two was Canada.
We went with Montreal thinking it was second after Toronto.
We also thought Toronto was number one, but we thought maybe the new Hollywood, New York is Vancouver.
All right. The second most populated city in Canada is Montreal.
I completely forgot about Montreal.
Let's start alternating again, guys.
So Toronto has 2.9 million and Montreal has 1.8. All right. France.
It's kind of a toss up on this one. After Paris, we went with Marseille.
We also went with Marseille.
All right, it is Marseille.
All right.
Nice.
Correct points.
Paris is at 2.16 million, and Marseille is at 861,000.
Just want to point out that was the first question both teams got right.
The whole game.
All right, number four is Australia.
We went with a show favorite, Melbourne.
I knew you were going to do it in the accent.
Based on the amount of AFL teams they have, we also went with Melbourne.
Yes, you're correct. It is Melbourne. 5.31 million for Sydney and 5.08 for Melbourne. So pretty close.
Oh,
actually.
Wow. Much bigger than I kind of remember.
Huh. All right. Number five, Brazil.
We felt this one was a little tricky because we think Sao Paulo actually has the most and Rio would be second. Rio de Janeiro.
We headed the other way around and thought it might be Sao Paulo.
All right. The answer is Rio de Janeiro.
Mm. Oh, man.
It's actually a pretty wide margin. Sao Paulo has about 12.3 million and Rio has about 6.7.
That's absurd.
Wow.
Should have listened to you, Matt. Sorry.
That's okay.
All right, number six, Mexico.
This one was solely because we watched a lot of Ugly Betty in this household, and her poncho says Guadalajara, and that's what we said.
Back when I used to live in LA, my coworkers would just go down here for a weekend, and we said Tijuana.
All right, and the answer is Tijuana.
I didn't even think about Tijuana.
I thought about it, but I didn't think that it was correct, so I didn't say it.
I figured it was more tourists than actual like locals.
That's what I figured.
So is Guadalajara an actual city, or is it just a state?
We don't know.
I believe it's a city, but I'm not positive.
It could be.
So Mexico City has 8.8 million, and Tijuana has about 2 million.
Wow.
Big jump.
All right, number seven, Egypt.
This was probably the hardest one, and we just guessed Giza.
We thought the same and said the same, Giza.
That is correct, Giza.
All right.
I was really surprised at the population of Giza. So Cairo obviously is the biggest at 9.5 million, and Giza has 8.8 million.
Wow.
And that's all from the pyramids, because there's people inside of the pyramids.
not sure if they count sarcophagus and mummies as people.
Presumed alive.
Right. All right, number eight was Japan.
I thought this one was pretty tough, and I'm going with Yokohama.
That is something that I've never given consideration to. We said Kyoto.
All right. I didn't think anybody was going to get this, but yes, it is Yokohama. So, yeah, Japan, Tokyo has 13.9 million, and Yokohama has 3.73 million.
Wow.
Yeah, it's kind of in that greater Tokyo metropolitan area, though, which is, I think, how people miss it. So,
yeah. All right. Number nine was Italy.
I do love fashion, and I thought there's a lot of fashion in Milan, so we went Milan.
What's that?
Yeah, for that reason, definitely, we also said Milan.
Yes, it is Milan.
Nice.
So Rome is at 2.87 million, Milan at 1.35 million. And then the last one in the swing round, Israel.
We went with Tel Aviv.
Yeah, based solely on the fact they have a lot of professional sports teams, we said Tel Aviv.
Yep, that's correct. Tel Aviv. Jerusalem is in at 874,000 and Tel Aviv at 435.
So, hey, pretty good. Yeah, not too bad. Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah.
All right. So, the scores following the swing round are as follows, adding 40 points, Fall of the House of Asher, bringing their score to 70. And just ahead of that with 75 points, Telltale Fart.
All right.
Very mature, guys. Very mature.
All right, so round two, question one, butternuts. Vermont-based ice cream giants Ben & Jerry's are well known for both the multitude of ice cream flavors and their politics. Which Ben & Jerry's flavor is perennially the most popular, taking the number one spot since at least 2018?
Well, I mean, did the title have anything to do with it, the butternut?
I don't know. For me, it used to always be Cherry Garcia.
My favorite one to say is Chunky Monkey, but I don't think that's it.
Yeah, I know Tonight Dough is very popular as well. That one's got big old smiling Jimmy Fallon on the carton staring at you, judging you. It's a great choice. Great choice.
I was always a bigger fan of Stephen Colbert's Americone Dream.
Yeah. There's also Half Baked is another one. There's, I can't think of Chocolate Fudge Brownie. I mean, these are not, this is nothing that's going to be like since 2018.
I just keep coming back to the clue. There's got to be something with either butter or nut or squash or I don't know.
Yeah. Is there a popcorn flavor? I have no idea. Well, if that's when pot was legalized, if it's half baked.
Yeah, that would make sense. We can go with that.
That could be the answer.
I think last time the ice cream flavors were brought up on the show, we went with Cherry Garcia, which was wrong. And I think the right answer was half baked.
Yep, you both came around to it. It's half baked. And the category was a subtle reference to the movie Half Baked.
Oh, that's right.
Harlan Williams is
butter stuff.
He kills the horse after feeding all the the snacks to it, and he can't remember the name of the horse, and he's like, butternuts, butternuts. All right, number two, nice hat. South Park recently celebrated its 25th anniversary in 2022. Before gaining superstardom, Trey Parker and Matt Stone created this film, the story of prospector Alfred Packer and his ragtag crew whose trek towards Breckenridge included many perils, including bouts of frostbite, difficult survival decisions, and an encounter with a quote-unquote cyclops.
I think I know, Matt, if you...
Oh, okay. Yeah, you can lock in. I'm not 100% sure, so...
I don't remember this in basketball.
I don't remember this at all. I was thinking this was going the Orgasmo.
Orgasmo. That's what I thought of, Orgasmo. And I only thought they did Orgasmo and basketball, and I can't think of another one they did.
Well, Team America.
Or Team America. Yeah, but like before South Parkish era. Yeah, I mean, maybe
also
that's...
25 years of South Park.
Yeah, that's nuts.
I'm old.
I remember when I was in sixth grade,
I was
maybe?
I was in like fourth grade when kids were watching that show.
Or maybe when I was in eighth grade. I mean, kids were getting in trouble for just wearing a South Park t-shirt to school.
We don't know.
Let's just say, I think it'd be a great plot for Orgasmo, that he's a prospector.
And he turns into Orgasmo?
Yeah.
I will go with Orgasmo.
I don't know if I'm right. I just remember, and this, actually, the more I think of it, I don't remember if it was a prospector, but I was thinking Wagons East, but that was like John Candy, and I don't know if that's the right time frame, so I may not be.
I would have said Orgasmo, so, and I don't think they're right either, so. Wagons East is what we said, I guess.
All right, unfortunately, neither correct here. This one's called Cannibal the Musical.
Oh, I forgot about that one. Yeah.
It's interesting if you're looking for a really, brain dead kind of movie. All right, question three. Art. No fancy title here. Man at the Crossroads was a fresco created in 1933 at New York City's Rockefeller Center. It depicted a scene contrasting capitalism and socialism and was ultimately destroyed as a result of the artist being unwilling to remove a portrait of Lenin from the piece. Who was the famous artist of this fresco?
Do you think this might be a Pablo Picasso?
That's what I was thinking, just because he had like Guernica and a lot of political drawings and stuff and paintings.
And the time frame makes sense.
Time frame's
too.
Right, too. So yeah, that would be that'd be a good guess.
Okay, we're going to lock in with Picasso.
What do you want to say?
I can't think of the guy's name, but I don't think it's her.
Alfred Molina?
Yes. Yeah.
We'll never pull his name.
Oh, man. But that's who it is, though. I just can't think of his name.
So I wrote down Frida Kahlo initially, and you think it's Alfred Molina in the movie.
I think her lover's name, who's a painter, was something Rivera.
Rivera?
Diego,
you think it's
Rivera.
Him? Diego Rivera.
Diego Rivera. I think it's him.
You think it's him, not her?
I think so.
All right.
I could be wrong. I don't know.
With Rivera.
Okay.
All right. Good pull. Diego Rivera.
Ah. Ooh, okay.
Good teamwork, Neil.
Yeah. I wouldn't have thought of it until you put Rivera, it.
Sam with the assist, too.
Yeah, well, just the first name. He knew the last name.
There you go.
That's true. Yeah, he just helped me out just to get across the finish line.
We had Jeopardy rules. As a general,
he brought me to the promised land.
Happening, Neil. It's not happening.
This is your 2022 fetch, and it's not happening.
I've made a decision. Every episode now, I'm just going to try and come up with a new one and see what sticks.
All right. Question number four, the goat of beers. This style of beer, which translates to goat in German, is a dark malty beer that was first brewed in Einbeck, Germany. Don't drink too many of these, or you may black out and end up with a shiner.
So they're locked in. So with the clues in it, which leads you to Shinerbach is a German style beer that's made in, I think it's made in the US, but I think it's based off the German style. So I think the Bach might be the style of beer.
Yeah, that's all I'm going to come up with. So,
yeah, we are familiar with the beer Shinerbach with that clue, and I believe it has a goat on it. And we didn't know if there was a type of beer called Bach, but we agree.
Yep. Full points, both teams. This is Bach beer. Yes.
Ah.
All right.
All right. Question five. Music lyrics. Which song contains the following lyrics? But make no mistakes and switch up my channel. I'm Buddy Rich when I fly off the handle.
So it's a rap song, probably.
Sounds like rap lyrics when they keep calling people out and stuff.
I believe it's by a group of boys. Beastie Boys even. And I'm pretty sure that this is Sabotage, which is funny because we did mention it. Maybe off air, but we did talk about Sabotage today. I'm pretty sure it's Sabotage.
It could be Sabotage now that you say that, because I can hear it in my head. But I was just thinking of a, you know, a different type of song. We went with someone who went from zero to hero. We said Ice Ice Baby, Vanilla Ice.
All right. So it is Sabotage by the Beastie Boys.
All right. Good pull, man.
That's so random.
I don't remember that lyric.
All right. So that'll be five questions down in round two. Both teams gaining 30, adding their scores. So just tipping at 105, Telltale Fart. Very close behind Fall of the House of Asher.
I don't want to be close behind the Telltale Fart.
You're only five behind the Telltale Fart at 100.
What's the Telltale Heart is the one where he's hearing the knocking?
Yeah, right? He killed the old man with a crazy eye.
All right. Number six, state symbols. What's the most popular official state insect serving this role in 17 U.S. states? Butterflies are not included in this list, as many states also have their own official state butterflies.
How many state insects do you know?
Including the one for Oklahoma, zero.
Oh, dang.
I was going to say grasshoppers might be a good choice. A lot of Midwestern states, you know, lots of grass with grasshoppers.
I think Oklahoma is the arachnid.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, probably.
That's a terrible pun, and I hate you.
Definitely. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know any of them. I was thinking bees at first because they're really important.
Did you say beads or bees?
Beans.
Yeah, I mean, bees would be a good guess, too. Yeah, it's definitely between bees and grasshoppers because those are both very prevalent insects.
Yeah, let's go with grasshopper.
Okay.
We felt like picking a nice photogenic insect, and we went with the ladybug.
All right, the answer is the honeybee.
Oh, man. We should have gone with you, Matt. Dang it.
Although I believe the ladybug is second.
Did you say honey beads or honey bees?
Honey beans. We already went over this.
Roll that beautiful bean footage.
It's funny.
Is that from something?
Yeah, it's Arrested, Arrested Development.
Oh, okay.
That's where the Telltale Fart comes from.
Yeah. All the honey beans.
Honey beans.
The honey beans.
Yep. All right, number seven. Talk Derby to me. My obligatory Kentucky question. The fastest ever Kentucky Derby winner finished the 1 1/4 mile Churchill Downs race in 1:59.4. Name this horse who would go on to win the Triple Crown in 1973.
The Sagittarius?
Sagittarius A-Star, actually.
I think it was Aquarius, actually.
So it's got to be one of the big four, as I like to call them, because I can never remember their names. Right, but they're all sired from the same seed.
You could just pick one.
Okay. It's not that one. Okay, I got one. We're going to lock in.
Picked a horse?
Is this a horse or is this a Marvel character?
Both. it's both.
It's both? Okay. All right, we're locked in.
I think you're about 50 years off, guys. But
going with War Machine over there.
Yeah.
Don Cheadle, I assume.
You could probably fly the horse pretty quick.
Don Cheadle onto a horse.
My first thought, based on the time period, was like Seabiscuit, but I don't know if that's old enough.
No, I think 73 was Secretariat. I'm pretty sure that this is this one's Secretariat, so we can lock in with that one.
Yeah, I was trying to think of any Triple Crown winners I could think of, but
no, they're thinking of War Emblem, who I think is way earlier.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, we went with War Machine. And I like how Matt's become the Derby expert here. Every time we get a horse question out, you get it right for some reason. I don't know if you're studying on weekends or whatever, but yeah, we went War Machine.
Just hanging out with Rowan. We went to trivia together, and it just went into my brain.
It just stuck with you? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Secretariat.
How fast is that? That's over 30 miles an hour they were running. That's insane.
It's a fast horse. It's horsepower. That's where it comes from.
That is where it comes from, yes.
I made a Secretariat joke to open up the question, too, and we just passed right by it.
Did you?
Yeah, because it says Sagittarius.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyways. I appreciate it now.
Anyways. Okay, that's fine.
All right, number eight. What are you afraid of? Nomophobia, N-O-M-O, phobia, is the fear of what? Some characteristics of this phobia include feeling generally disconnected, lacking access to information, and losing convenience. While not officially acknowledged in the DSM-4, it is considered a specific phobia, and research is currently increasing on this phobia.
It's the phobia of running out of something, right?
Yeah, nomophobia.
Nomophobia.
I thought it was a
former Dodger pitcher.
I was going to say fear of Hideo Nomo, yeah, and his weird pitching style.
That's what a lot of batters had in 1998, that's for sure. I think it could just be as simple as like fear of the internet.
Yeah, internet or social media or
social media. Yeah, I think. Oh, it's probably cell phones because meaning mobile phones, maybe.
Yeah. Well, the last couple times we've gone with me and you were right, so we better stick with yours. So.
No. I'm saying cell phones now. I changed my bet. We're going with cell phones or mobile phones.
Okay.
Fear of the phone or fear of not having the phone?
Fear of using the phone.
Okay.
Oh, now I don't know.
All right. We said fear of like being disconnected from the internet.
Okay. I'll let you figure out how to do points here. So the actual fear is the fear of being without your phone.
We were the opposite.
Let's split the difference and both take the points. How about that?
Take no points.
No, we're both taking points.
Doesn't make
points.
Any difference either way.
We both want more points so we can wager them and lose them later.
Okay.
I have a no point phobia, and I need the points.
Right. Short for no mobile phobia. Yes.
Yep. No mobile phone phobia. Yep.
All right. Oh, we're all taking
it's
points.
A disease.
We're all taking points on that one.
I'm giving you each 5 because you said you were going to split the points.
No. 10 points apiece for the people at home.
You give Jeff any amount of power, and look what happens.
And he seizes it.
You mean if you give me discretion to, you know, make rulings that are reasonable? And no, I'm just making crap up, Ken.
All right.
This isn't a reasonable
home,
game.
For the people at home, we're each taking 10 points for your own scorekeeping pleasure. And if you were close to that answer, you should take 10 points too.
Or 20.
And even if you weren't, give yourself points. Feel good about yourself. It's a good podcast.
It's just for fun anyways.
Yeah.
Are you having fun, people? Huh?
No.
Want to get nuts? I'll get nuts.
All right, let's get the next one.
All right, number 9. Let's get physical. Tai Bo was a popular fitness craze in the 1990s that combined elements of dance and martial arts into a workout routine. Who is the charismatic creator of Tai Bo, seen ubiquitously promoting the regimen on infomercials?
Sounds like Matt wants a 3-2-1 this one.
Yeah, this is in our wheelhouse here.
We grew up with this guy.
Mr. William Blake.
Neil's still practicing this in 2022.
I do Tai Bo often.
Yeah. Does Billy Blanks have a cameo? Can we get him read?
We should. He should scream the rules at us. if you haven't seen Last Boy Scout, great cameo at the opening of that film by Billy Blanks.
Yeah, we all know it, right? Billy Blanks.
Yeah,
you guys nailed it. Billy Blanks. All right, and the last question of the second round is my Simpsons question. You want to see my new chainsaw and hockey mask?
Hey, Bart!
In season 5, episode 2 of The Simpsons, the family is forced to relocate to Terror Lake in an effect to escape, in an attempt to escape Sideshow Bob's attempts to kill Bart. In the climax of this episode, Bob corners Bart and asks him if he has any final requests. In an attempt to buy time, Bart asks Bob to sing him the entire score to what Gilbert and Sullivan opera?
I know this one.
Oh, good.
Big Simpsons fan.
That was going to be about the Thompsons.
Neil knows a lot about Gilbert and Sullivan, though. So.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about Simpsons. I know some Gilbert and Sullivan.
Just shout some out.
Pirates of Penzance, Hot Mikado, Pinafore.
I think it's
HMS Pinafore.
Pirates. I think it's Pirates.
Pirates Penzance.
Wait, what was that last one?
HMS Pinafore, which is also on the West Wing.
I think we got to go with Pirates.
It is the HMS Pinafore, actually.
Yes, the HMS Pinafore.
Ken, you might be.
Why would Bart even know that?
Why would he know the definition of a modern major general?
It's the only way I know that song.
That's one of my favorite, if probably my favorite episode of The Simpsons, the whole Cape Fear ripoff. It's just excellent.
Take us to the promised land, Jeff.
So, don't make this stick, Matt. All right, so heading into the final round, these are the points that the teams are going to have to wager. There is 120 points sitting with the fall of the House of Asher, but in first place, 145 points. We've got Team Telltale Fart. They have the lead. They're not in first place. You don't have first or second place until the game's over, I guess. But
all right, so for the final round, I'm going to take you through the five stages of grief. So we have denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance.
And the wagers are now in. Looks like we're doing 20s all the way down, and I think you were doing 25 on denial and 30s on the rest.
You know it.
All right, sounds good. Let's have our questions.
All right, first up, denial. Hakeem Olajuwon holds the all-time record for blocks in the NBA with 3,830. Among active players in the NBA, which player holds the record for the most blocks with 2,228? The next closest player has 1,752. Anger. In the 2015 Disney Pixar film Inside Out, which comedian known for his characteristically loud rants plays the character of Anger, a short red character who some argue becomes the main antagonist in the film? Bargaining. What discount retail store, founded by Lloyd Ross in 1974, got its name from its founder, who decided on the company name because, quote, it is the first positive day of the week? Depression. During the Great Depression, unemployment rose to nearly 30%, leading to widespread poverty and homelessness. As a result, many homeless encampments were created throughout the country. What was the more popular name for these shack towns and encampments? And finally, acceptance. Among public colleges and universities in the United States, which institution had the lowest acceptance rate for freshmen in 2022, admitting only 9% of applicants? This institution is perennially at or near the top of this list.
And while everyone mulls it over, just want to remind everyone that we have a Patreon. So if you're interested in supporting the show directly, you can do so at patreon.com/trivialitypodcast. Both of our guests today support us there, and we are so grateful for their support. If you're interested in getting any perks in exchange for your support of our show, please just check it out. Any and all support is appreciated.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan, but nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon / spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an 8-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
Calling all kids in the car, Brittany and Meredith here from the chart-topping Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast. Are you dreading another silent car ride with the fam? We've got the cure. 3 rounds of fresh trivia every single week. Movies, music, even science and Disney. We've got something for every trivia buff in the car. No more crickets chirping on those long journeys. The Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast is your secret weapon for connecting and laughing with kids of all ages, teens, toddlers, adults, it doesn't matter. Spark their curiosity and challenge their brains with every episode. New episodes drop weekly wherever you get your podcasts. Search for the Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast and turn those car rides into epic adventures.
All the answers are now locked in. Let's have the questions one more time and see if we can overtake the Telltale Fart.
If we can silence the Telltale Fart.
There's no outrunning a Telltale Fart.
Well, the silent ones are the deadly ones, so.
All right, so in the category of denial, Hakeem Olajuwon holds the all-time record for blocks in the NBA with 3,830. Among active players in the NBA, which player holds the record for most blocks with 2,228? The next closest player has 1,752.
So we went 20 all the way down, right, Ken?
Yeah, that's right.
So I read an article about this guy, and I can't remember if it was for college or the NBA, but I know in college he had a ton of blocks, and I'm just assuming he carried that over to his NBA career because he's a superstar. We said Anthony Davis.
Ooh, this is a guy who did not go to college, I believe, straight out of high school. I think it's Dwight Howard.
Yep, the correct answer is Dwight Howard.
Oh, man.
Well. All right, Anger, the 2015 Disney Pixar film Inside Out, which comedian, known for his characteristically loud rants, plays the character of Anger, a short red character who some argue becomes the main antagonist in the film?
Yeah, so for 20 points again, obviously we went with Lewis Black.
We also went with Lewis Black.
Yep, Lewis Black is the answer. All right, bargaining. What discount retail store, founded by Lloyd Ross in 1974, got its name from its founder, who decided on the company name because, quote, it is the first positive day of the week?
Amazing pull from Neil here, so I'll let him take it.
Yeah, I didn't have any confidence behind this, but when I worked at Blockbuster, right next door was a store that had a day of the week in the name, and I never knew what it was. But when I heard the question, I was like, it must have been that, because it seemed like a retail that had bargain stuff. We went with Tuesday Morning.
Was that it, Sam?
Yeah.
We couldn't think of it. Sam was pretty sure that there was a Tuesday in the title, so we went with our favorite discount retailer, Ruby Tuesdays.
Both teams had the day of the week correct. It was Tuesday Morning.
I just couldn't pull it out.
All right, depression. During the Great Depression, unemployment rose to nearly 30%, leading to widespread poverty and homelessness. As a result, many homeless encampments were created throughout the country. What was the more popular name for these shack towns and encampments?
Yeah, in honor of the president at the time, they were called, I believe, Hoovervilles.
And that, yeah, that's what we said too, is Hoovervilles.
Yep, that's absolutely right. Blame it on Hoover, and they brought up Hoovervilles. All right, and finally, acceptance. Among public colleges and universities in the United States, which institution had the lowest acceptance rate for freshmen in 2022, admitting only 9% of applicants? This institution is perennially at or near the top of that list.
Well, accepting that right or wrong, we're probably not going to be the cream of the crop this week. We went with Harvard.
We were between Harvard, Princeton, and this other school. We thought people would want to be out in California more, so we said Stanford.
All right. So both of those are private colleges. So the public university that we're looking for, a public college, is the U.S. Naval Academy.
I did not think that. I missed the word public completely.
So did I.
All right, and the final scores have been tabulated and didn't change much here, unfortunately, with a score of 140 points. The fall of the House of Asher fell in the end.
Can you smell something, Neil?
To the Telltale Fart with a score of 170 points.
I can't do it now.
Well,
so what's the tagline? Say the tagline.
That's that, Mattress Man.
No, say the tagline.
It brought us to the promised land.
Not that one.
Is that what it was?
What do we say every episode?
So this week's cream of the crop is the Telltale Fart.
You're the cream of the crop.
That's right.
So to go on a Neil tangent here. I had a quick Neil tangent. So a friend of mine and I, we play disc golf all the time, and he decided to change his username on our little app to I Beat Sam, and he's never beat me since. So the fall of the House of Asher was a curse.
Yeah, I guess so.
How does Asher feel about your win?
He feels great. He helped me on every single question.
So we really had three people. So we
So it wasn't fair in the first place.
Our handicap match. We beat you.
Yeah,
that's fine. Well, we appreciate you coming back on the show, Sam. Sorry about the delay in the first episode, but it turned out great. And now we get more Sam this month. Any last words from you for this episode?
No, it was fun being on here, and hopefully I'll get my students to listen to both episodes now, and we'll hopefully get to do it again.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah, if any of Sam's students out there have part-time jobs and want to sign up for the Patreon, we're more than welcome.
Come on.
Or you can work for Matt at the coffee conglomerate.
Not at all. No, Matt, as we always say, we appreciate the support if you're financially able. We don't expect anything otherwise. We don't expect anything anyways. But
And thank you as well, Troy, for presenting that excellent and challenging game, but always fun.
Thanks so much for having me on, guys. I appreciate it. Just want to say a quick shout out to my wife for watching the kids while we did this. Thanks, Megan. Hi, Claire and Elias. And shout out to my trivia team, Chris and Tommy, who helped me play test this, as well as the others. So, again, thanks so much for having me on. And I really enjoy the show and all the stuff that you do for the trivia community. It's great.
Awesome. Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Appreciate you. And if you're students out there with internet access, which I'm assuming is all of you, go to Rate My Teacher and give Sam Young and Troy Cooper 5 stars.
There you go. And that'll be it for today's episode. For Sam and Troy, thank you for being the guests today. For Matt, Jeff, Neil, and myself, that was Triviality, and we'll see you in the promised land.
Okay, what was the one where he hears someone's like buried alive?
Yeah, in the cask of a
Macchiato. He hears the beating of the old man's heart under the floorboard.
So it's
his guilt.
His guilt.
Pounding.
So in this one, it's more stress related, and he's hearing.
And if you listen very carefully, it sounds like this.
So he's not just hearing. He can't do his work, just driving him mad.
Who is that?
It's amazing Foley, you know.
The cask of Amontillado is the one where he buries the guy in the wall alive, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And with that guy being alive, he also goes.
How is this not an SNL skit already?
I hope that was the creaking door.
None of this is good. We can move on, right?
It's good for an end clip. Yeah.